a letter urging that company to address anti-Semitism and harassment.
Montana Tucker, an activist and influencer, says comments on her TikTok account have been filled with anti-Semitic comments since the start of the war.
We need to find a way to be able to get accurate information out there, to have messages at the bottom of these videos saying this is not a confirmed source.
Meanwhile,
the company called a meeting with those influencers and says it's being proactive in addressing the concerns.
ABC's Andrea Fuji. In California, for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, President Biden signed the bill to keep the government running into January. Texas gave a lethal injection to David Renteria, condemned for abducting a 5-year-old girl out Christmas shopping with her family at a Walmart in El Paso in 2001 and strangling her to death. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
Difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers. Potential workers that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3, competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL, Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 43. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 27. Tomorrow, high of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 27.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Home Field Apparel. And for all the college sports gear, be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com.
Sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, it seems like we might have run out of steam as far as this warm weather is concerned. Good Friday morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke checking in again this morning for one more time from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Annual Convention right here in Kansas City, where we have enjoyed balmy conditions for our visit. Now, on our way back home later this afternoon, I'm preparing myself for what's probably going to be a cloudier day for sure, and definitely cooler as far as the weather is concerned. Daytime highs today under partly cloudy skies, 46 with winds out of the northwest, about 11 miles an hour. For Saturday, sunshine's back in the forecast. We'll bounce up to 54. Sunday, partly sunny, actually mostly sunny in 53. But then as we start Monday, things are going to start turning a little bit. Cloudy skies, better chance of rain starting on Monday, and the winds are going to pick up. Monday's high is 48, Tuesday 40 degrees. Wednesday next week, we're back down to 30. I'll find out if Stumacher, ag meteorologist, agrees with that. He's coming up in about 15 minutes. Got a chance to visit with some of the folks that are trying to craft the next farm bill. Now, you may have heard that they are giving us a little bit of an extension. They basically have postponed taking action on the farm bill in a calendar year 2024. Mike Strantz, who's with the National Farmers Union, had a chance to bring me up to speed on that. He'll join us in just a little bit. And we're going to introduce you to another one of the Leopold Conservation Award finalists here in just a minute. Nate Zimdar is chatting with them. And then we will tell you who has been selected as the 2023 Leopold Conservation Award winners. So you don't want to miss out. Stick around. A full Friday on the way.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at getgreatergrowth.com.
The Leopold Conservation Award is a competitive award that recognizes landowner achievement in voluntary conservation. Given in honor of renowned conservationist Aldo Leopold, the prestigious award recognizes farmers and forest land owners who inspire others with their dedication to land, water, and wildlife habitat in their care. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Nate Zimdar speaking with one of the four finalists, Joe Hobble, a woodland owner who manages 3,300 acres of land in several Northwoods counties in addition to owning County Line Wood Products and serving as president and founder of Partners in Forestry Landowners Cooperative. He shares the conservation practices he has been leaning on for over 50 years. How did you begin your work in the timber industry?
50 years ago, I was working in the woods in central Wisconsin in the Central Sands. At that time, there was a lot of scattered pine woodlots and oak hills and so on. And one of my very first jobs as a young adult was piecemeal cutting of forest products for market. It was 50 years ago when there was a pretty serious recession in wood products, and I needed to find a way out of that, so I found a small sawmill, and I started adding value to wood. Initially, it was kind of a hard lesson, because if you can't sell raw forest products, there's probably a reason. That's because lumber doesn't sell. So when lumber didn't sell either, that's when I knew I had to start making things. And the first things I made were hay racks for farmers, calf feeders, and things like that. That's way back 50 years ago, but within a few years, I had stepped up to building residences and log and timber frame buildings. So it was a wonderful career. And we focused on sustainably harvested local wood. I coined the phrase, for global good, use local wood.
So what are you doing in this period of your life?
I'm pretty busy between managing our family lands, winding down my wood business, which still has some remnants of material and certainly still does require some maintenance and some effort. And then I volunteer an enormous amount of time to two different conservation groups, Partners Wisconsin Forestry Cooperative, which is a conservation forest owners cooperative, and we advocate for sustainable forestry and for conservation of forest lands. And the other one is the Northwoods Alliance Incorporated, which is a partner, sister group, if you will, to Partners in Forestry. It's a nonprofit, and Partners in Forestry works with individuals and landowners and can even lobby because of its cooperative status, but of course a nonprofit cannot do that. But a nonprofit can achieve federal grants. For example, Northwoods Alliance now holds two beautiful community forests in northern Wisconsin and along the UP border. We were talking to the congressman in the Upper Peninsula and asking him to advocate for the Federal Forest Legacy Program. And after we talked a while, he looked at me, he asked me a question. He said, well, are you into sustainable forestry or are you into conservation? And I looked at him and I said, sustainable forestry without conservation is not long sustainable.
What is the role that conservation has played into your work managing forests?
Years ago, I would go in the woods and I would look for timber. And something dawned on me, and I'm talking way back in the old days. I mean, I could say I went looking for timber, and I found much more. I found an active living ecosystem, and frankly, it's an ecosystem that enriches our lives. And if we treat it properly and sustain it, we certainly have the hope that we'll enrich the lives of future generations as well.
What do you see as the value of these practices that could benefit others doing similar work?
I think sustainability is a very broad brush, if you will, and we have to focus on the parts in which we can play a good role. And of course, forest conservation and sustainability are so closely intertwined because you can look at conservation, if you will, is a wise use of products when you're managing your land and you feel that you've really applied your land ethic to it as well. It would be easy to look at it and say, well, we're going to use what we want. Of course, that's the case. We're going to use what man needs. And wood from our land goes for pulpwood, goes for lumber, firewood, and so on. And of course, we want all this stuff to be there for future generations as well.
You had mentioned land ethic. If you could summarize your land ethic, what would that be?
My land ethic sort of intertwines as equal partners four components of land. And one is economic. And of course, we can look at the economics of forest management just like we would look at the economics of raising a crop. In other words, let's look at the forest products as a crop, just like a farm crop, except it just takes longer for them to grow. And of course, the next point after economic that I would point to would probably be environmental, because if we take care of this land, we're going to provide environmental benefits, which are going to include clean water, clean air, and wildlife habitat. Wildlife habitat is very important. We have to keep in mind that in 2021, 23 species were removed from the endangered species list, not because they were no longer endangered, but because they were fully extirpated. To me, that's scary, and that's all about habitat loss. So the environmental component should focus on providing wildlife habitat. And then our land management ethic would also look at the social benefits, and the social benefits would include everything from family pastime, hunting with your family and friends. We're blessed enough to own enough forest land that we've got an awful lot of it. In fact, two-thirds of the land that we own is open to the public under the Forest Legacy Program, and it's open for non-motorized public use. So these lands provide a very strong and permanent social factor as well. And then the fourth thing that I often cite, I call the intrinsic values. Those are the things that we just don't know today, but future generations very likely could realize things that we don't know. In other words, let's look at nature as not being more complex than what we're thinking it is, but it's more complex than what we're even able to think, I believe.
Speaking of the future, what does the future of the land you manage look like?
I hope that it's bright, but there's plenty of challenges in forest management. We're seeing, as a result, obviously, of climate change factors, we're seeing the loss of some timber species that are not able to regenerate. We're seeing way too many deer numbers in the northern forested regions, at least in a lot of areas, and that's playing havoc on forest regeneration as well. But we must plug forward. We must try to provide everything we can for the future. One of the lands that we manage is called the Upper Wisconsin River Legacy Forest, and we manage that for young timber, basically, essentially for the wildlife habitat, being that forest has a fairly active population of the threatened spruce grouse, which are a very rare bird. They're a boreal bird. They only exist in Wisconsin in the far northern tier here. So the complexity of the management at a very wide scale is also important to realize, too, because with the land that we own, I just cited the Young Forest Initiative ideas that we carry through for the wildlife centered around spruce grouse, Kirtland warblers that are threatened and endangered species. But also there's stands that are going into what we'd call the old growth category, where it's very important to retain some of these stands of old trees to provide that sort of natural chaos that only nature could provide, but it provides just tremendous aesthetics to us as well.
How does it feel to be a finalist for the Leopold Conservation Award?
It feels good. I've devoted myself to this conservation stuff for a long time, and I respect anybody and everybody that has a similar land ethic. So as we get older, we sort of find comfort with our peers. And of course, if one of your peers is also focusing on things like conserving land for the future and focusing on conservation, that's a comfort zone. Being a finalist for this award would fall into that category, where it's a comfort zone to find a place of harmony with other people you can relate to.
Aldo Leopold said, "We abuse land because we regard it as a commodity belonging to us. When we see land as a community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect. It's apparent that Joe Hobble deeply cares for and respects the forests that he has managed over the decades, with the hope that others will join him in that good work." From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Nate Zimdars.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
I'm worrying about the results and cost. MH Imaging in Middleton performs MRIs, CTs, X-rays, and ultrasounds for a fraction of the cost of a medical system. And parking is just a few steps away. Results are available the same day, providing you with answers you need to know now. Visit mhimaging.com.
Here we use a lot of F words: food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Alrighty, time to get us up to speed on what weather-wise we're going to be greeting for a Friday and opening day of gun deer season. Crack it on tomorrow morning. It is a Friday and time for our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, joining us now this morning. Well, it doesn't look like I'm going to have to worry a lot about sunshine in my eyes coming back from Kansas City to America's Dairyland, huh, Stu?
I don't know which way you're looking, Pam, but I expect we're in for a nice sunny day today. That's after clouds last night. Some sprinkly showers in Wisconsin and a windy, windy day yesterday and windy conditions all night. Wind gusts 35, even 40 miles per hour in many locations. A windy situation that kind of belied how it was. Temperatures were fantastic. La Crosse missing a record yesterday by only 2 degrees, topping out at 68. 70 would have been a record. 64 at Madison. Really mild conditions for the middle of November. That does change today, however. The warm front moved up into the state yesterday and helped us warm up and fired up that wind. And then the cold front swung through out of the northwest. Right after dark, it hit northwest Wisconsin, crossed on to the southeast part of the state here by early in the morning. Not much for precipitation around. The bigger factor will be the north winds. Luckily, not as strong as yesterday, but they tap into a colder air mass, and we unfortunately are going to talk about temperatures about 20-plus degrees cooler than yesterday. Even talking about that kind of a cool down, it's still around normal. Mid-40s, 44, 45, those are normal daytime highs today. And as we start the gun deer season tomorrow, so you know, mid-40s are where we should be. I expect it will be a little warmer for the weekend. Along with sunshine and a north breeze today, we stay a lot closer to normal. But those winds become west and even south for a time and help us to warm up a bit more for Saturday and Sunday, up to around 50 or in the very low 50s with a fair amount of sun. Not a major breeze, but a lot of variation starting out from the west Saturday, becoming north on Sunday, even becoming east a bit later in the day Sunday, because the next low pressure system will begin to edge in. The next system I expect does pass further off to the south. I mean, parts of Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, seeing more rain, but I'd expect we'll get our rain chance a little later in the day, Monday or Monday night. Rain showers at that time with those temps in the upper 40s. We cool it off a little bit toward Tuesday and Wednesday. There may be a little snow mixing in into that part of the week. I don't expect a major snowstorm, nothing like that, but those temperatures do get cooler, and I know everybody's looking ahead toward Thanksgiving or thinking about the deer hunting season. Those daytime highs may actually fall back down toward the upper 20s or only about 30 by Wednesday. A little cooler on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. So maybe it does sound more like winter, more like hunting weather as we make our way on through next week. Fortunately enough, at least for the first several days of the week, I don't see the strong winds like we saw yesterday. So it won't be a really nasty, chilly cold time, but that cold air is going to settle on in. Well, I'll be back with all the forecast details, spell it out where and when, right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin's student-athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Incoming!
Don't worry, it's not raining elephants. That's just the sound of Dairyland Seed delivering our strongest silage lineup ever. Again, get ready for even better trait quality, even greater tonnage potential, and even more milk per acre. See how Dairyland Seed silage outperformed the competition in your area at showmethesilageyield.com. That's showmethesilageyield.com.
Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast. Sunny skies, not nearly as windy today, but it does cool off. Mid-40s at best, you know, 44 to 46. The north winds about 5 to 15. Our skies stay clear overnight. We drop back down to about 30. The northwest winds 5 to 10 become southwest late. That helps to warm it up a bit. Sunny, nicer for Saturday, about 50. The west winds at 5 to 15. Sunny on Sunday, again about 50. You know, 49 here, maybe 52 there, but sunny and fine. North winds 5 to 10 become east in the mid-morning and on into the afternoon. And there is then going to be that small rain chance for later Monday. And there'll be a few more clouds and temperatures staying a little cooler into the upper 40s to start next week. So, Pam, it is going to feel a little more like hunting weather once we head to next week. But this weekend, still really fine for the middle of November to talk about those highs up around 50 or better. Should be a great weekend for you to get back home and get something done.
All right, good enough. Well, at least we'll have a little sunshine to keep us warm in the deer stands tomorrow. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial ag weather update on a Friday. Compure Financial is your partner when it comes to agriculture and rural lifestyles. If you want to find out more, great resources available online at compure.com. You can also locate an office near you. All right, coming up, they announced yesterday the 2023 Leopold Conservation Award winner. We've introduced you to all three of the candidates. Who is going to take home that beautiful crystal as well as $10,000 cash? I've got the answer for you on the way for a Friday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. With Israel prosecuting its war against Hamas, dozens of Jewish TikTok creators and celebrities signed on to a letter urging that company to address anti-Semitism and harassment.
Montana Tucker, an activist and influencer, says comments on her TikTok account have been filled with anti-Semitic comments since the start of the war.
We need to find a way to be able to get accurate information out there, to have messages at the bottom of these videos saying this is not a confirmed source.
Meanwhile,
the company called a meeting with those influencers and says it's being proactive in addressing the concerns.
ABC's Andrea Fuji. In California, for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, President Biden signed the bill to keep the government running into January. Texas gave a lethal injection to David Renteria, condemned for abducting a 5-year-old girl out Christmas shopping with her family at a Walmart in El Paso in 2001 and strangling her to death. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
Difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers
potential workers that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3, competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 43. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 27. Tomorrow, high of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 25.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulvey. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights, at least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Turn things around and eventually blossom into a really good wide receiver, but it doesn't look good at this point, guys.
Well, just tie a knot, hang on as far as the weather is concerned. Today, it looks like we are going to experience some clouds. Daytime highs today around 46. A little bit of a wind out of the north-northwest, 11 miles an hour. Then tomorrow, the sunshine is back in the forecast for you folks that are heading out to do a little deer hunting. 54 are expected high on Saturday. Sunday, few more clouds, but still generally a nice day in 53. Then Monday, clouds in the forecast in 48. 24% chance of rain on Monday. By Tuesday, there's a possibility we could see snow showers in the forecast. Daytime highs on Tuesday right around 40 degrees. And that's where I'm going to stop. Morning, everybody. Farm Director Pam Yonke checking in from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Annual Convention. We're wrapping it up today in Kansas City. Then the Midwest Farm Report crew headed back to America's Dairyland. So it is the 17th day of November. On this day back in 1869, the 120-mile-long artificial waterway that connected the Red Sea and the Mediterranean Sea finally finished and opened to ships. The canal connected Europe to Asia without ships having to go all the way around Africa. The Suez Canal finished on this day back in 1869. On this day in 2003, Arnold Schwarzenegger was sworn in as California governor. Yes, he'd been known as a bodybuilder, and then he was an actor, known for playing a cyborg in the science fiction movie The Terminator. He replaced then-Governor Gray Davis. Schwarzenegger was elected for another term as governor in 2007. Arnold Schwarzenegger came back as California governor on this date in 2003. Happy birthday to actor Danny DeVito, 79 years young, and director Martin Scorsese. He is 81 years old, and now you know. Yesterday was a big day for three farm families across the state of Wisconsin. During the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's board meeting in Madison, they announced the recipients of the 2023 Leopold Conservation Award. The award, presented by Sand County Foundation and national sponsor American Farmland Trust, was also presented with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. It's a special award presented to private landowners in 27 different states recognizing their conservation efforts, their respect for the land, their environmental concerns. And yesterday, Knowles Dairy Farm was selected as this year's Leopold Conservation Award winners. Mark Curtis and Scott Knoll and their families received $10,000 and a crystal award for being selected. A video celebrating the Buffalo County Farm family was presented during the meeting, and they will be recognized during the upcoming Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting on December 3rd in Wisconsin Dells. Again, congratulations to Knowles Dairy Farm from Buffalo County, the 2023 Leopold Conservation Award winners. Congratulations, and remember, you can find more details out about the award as well as the other finalists at MidwestFarmReport.com. We're also reminding you that there is a farm bill that is being worked on right now in Washington, D.C. We found out this week that it looks like it's going to take a little longer to complete the farm bill's renovations. That's what I heard from Mike Strantz. Mike is a Wisconsin native that now is a part of the National Farmers Union staff in Washington, D.C. He explained where we stand as of today with the farm bill and what we've got to look forward to as far as Thanksgiving is concerned.
Well, just this week, an extension passed for the farm bill. So after months of uncertainty, will they, won't they move ahead with passing this next farm bill? We needed to get something done before permanent law kicked in, before there were some weird effects from that. So Congress passed a one-year extension, and we're going to start the debate again all over come January. But hopefully, early 2024, we're going to see some language from either the House or Senate Agriculture Committees that can move through the committee process and then get voted on by the full House and the full Senate.
You know, a couple things that crossed my mind, Mike. Number one, can we still manage to bring a divided House and Senate together for the common good of agriculture? And what else are they trying to hide within the Farm Bill? That's gotten to be more and more of an issue. Animal rights, green rules, etc. Those kinds of things. If you're not paying attention to the devil of that detail, it comes back to bite you. Tell me how you're monitoring all that.
There's a lot in the Farm Bill. Those are big pieces of legislation, and there's reasons for that, to make sure that there's something for everybody in there, a reason for, you know, 218 members of the House to vote for it and 51 senators, or really 60 senators, to vote for it. So we need to keep a close eye on what's in there. One of the pieces that is a good aspect about the Farm Bill is that it touches everybody. We're all eating. You know, farmers are a big part of this equation, of course, but consumers are everywhere. And there's people eating in every congressional district in the country. That helps to bring together a big coalition to support the Farm Bill. But we're also mixing in other things, whether it's on conservation, making sure that programs like EQIP and CRP and CSP and a whole alphabet soup of other programs get the support that we need as family farmers and ranchers to take good care of the environment. There's also a big chunk, obviously, the lion's share of the spending in the Farm Bill goes to nutrition. And that's an important and very helpful aspect of the Farm Bill. So it's something to defend the whole food system. It's something to help, obviously, family farmers and ranchers, but people who eat across the country.
You visit these offices, Mike. I've got to ask you what your experience is like. How do you work through that?
Sure. You meet a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who want to help, and they want to learn more about the constituents they serve. They may not have any farm experience at all, and you can do some real basic agricultural education there growing up in Abrams, you can probably throw in there now and again. So they want to connect somebody. They want to connect either with the staffer for National Farmers Union or, better yet, members of farmers unions across the country. So helping make those connections with the staffer, who doesn't know anything about agriculture production-wise, helps them come up with better policy ideas and steer their boss in the right direction.
You know, we were talking about the common denominator, that being everyone in every congressional district is eating. It is that time of the year as we gather with family for different holiday events where it's worthwhile to try to bring up at the dinner table just how much of what we spent on that meal actually ends up back on the farm.
Right, and that's something to talk about after the Packer game finishes up, is the farmer's share of the food dollar. Over the course of the year, National Farmers Union tracks information about how much of the food dollar, so how much you spend at the grocery store, actually gets back to a family farmer or rancher. It's about 14 cents. During Thanksgiving, we put out some other statistics about how much for your turkey goes back to the farmer, cranberries, things like that. So check out our Farmers Union information, nfu.org, to learn more about the Thanksgiving share of the farmers of the food dollar.
Well, and the bottom line is, don't take it for granted either. Like we said, those key pieces of Farm Bill information institution to go forward, especially in an election year, we need to have some certainty.
Yeah. Having the Farm Bill come up in a presidential election year is a blessing and probably also a curse. It's a little bit of both. It's going to bring forward a lot of attention. The stakes are going to raise. Be higher, and it means people want to hear from farmers, and now's the time to get our voice out there.
Mike Strantz, that young man actually grew up just down the road from me in O'Connell County. Now he is out in Washington, D.C. with the National Farmers Union, not only keeping us up to date on where the Farm Bill stands, but also reminding us how grateful we should be for that Thanksgiving feast we're going to enjoy coming up next week. Thanks, Mike. Well, quick look at the markets for you on a Friday morning. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished a penny lower at $1.67. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday was down two at $1.60. AA butter dropped 9.25 cents again yesterday, $2.59¾ per pound. As far as the corn market was concerned yesterday, it was up 4 cents at $4.74¾. January soybeans dropped 24¾ cents to $13.60¼. The wheat for July was down 8, closed at $6.10. And December Class 3 fluid milk down 34 cents at $17.11 a hundredweight. Coming up next, well, we know that the weather has allowed us to get a lot of field work done this week. The harvest getting closer and closer to the checkered flag of being done. How are yields looking after what was a problematic growing season for a lot of Wisconsin farmers? We're going to do kind of a harvest wrap-up with our friends from Dairyland Seed. Stick around for that. Also want to remind you, if you want to see the shenanigans and good fun that we've been having down here in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual meeting, please take a look at our pictures posted Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. We've had two of our Wisconsinites that picked up some big scholarships from the National Farm Broadcasters, and we've also been able to catch up with current USAG Secretary Tom Vilsack. All the pictures and more available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Or better yet, check us out, Fabulous Farm Babe, on Facebook as well as Instagram. All right, another harvest update coming up on Dairyland Seed's performance out in Wisconsin farm fields. Stick around, that's on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
In total compensation or be $29,000 in debt. That's the choice between paying for a bachelor's degree that might not even land you a job or an apprenticeship with LIUNA that will lead to job security, a pension, stability, and a lifetime of great wages. You're worth so much more. Go to LIUNAWisconsin.org/join to learn how to accumulate wealth instead of debt.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Really good to look around the state and kind of get some comparison conversations going when it comes to the harvest of 2023. Our friends at Dairyland obviously blanket the state of Wisconsin with a lot of different products. I thought it'd be nice to reach back to them and find out what they've been seeing as far as the harvest. Brandon Furseth, one of the fellows that's kind of covering southern Wisconsin for Dairyland Seeds, and joins us now. So, you know, you and I were talking before this conversation, Brandon, that a lot of us were wringing our hands pretty early in the growing season because of the dry weather. And then, bam, we get to the harvest, and it seems like, well, far better than what we expected, huh?
Yeah, I think that's the storyline of the season, really. We had a big drought like we haven't seen, especially in southern Wisconsin. You know, you look at the country as a whole, and Dane County and getting into Richland County, up towards Viroqua, La Crosse, that was kind of drought central in particular. And a lot of the questions we were getting in that June, July timeframe really centered around where people should kind of give up and maybe just let the season ride out. And here we are with what far above expected yields at the end of the season.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about those yields, because that was the other thing early in the season when we were maybe taking off corn silage. I was still hearing a lot about variability. When you started pulling off the corn for grain, what were you hearing from your folks out in the field, Brandon?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty similar story. Initially in silage, people were very impressed with the yields, really shocked them what they were seeing. And kind of the same thing carried through with corn. So, you know, not uncommon to see fields averaging in that 220 to 250 range, where that's kind of what we're normally doing. We've even done some yield checks for guys that were pushing 300 bushels in spots of the field, and they were kind of wondering how that could even be happening. So obviously the devil is in the details, and that variability is what's going to really drive our average, and that's so hard to predict at this time of the season.
Well, you know, back to corn silage, you know, the other good thing is we weren't just getting stock. There was actually some value in that crop of corn silage. There was actually an ear there. And like you said, early on, we didn't know if we'd be able to muster enough energy for that.
Yeah. And that brings up another good point. You know, our corn crop was very short this year because of that early season drought. But that ear really drives tonnage. It can be 50 to 60% of our tonnage. So when the plant height is suppressed, but your ear size is still normal, of course, we're going to still get some pretty solid yields on the silage side.
Yeah. Brandon Furseth is along with us from Dairyland Seed. So I imagine you're just like everybody getting that question. How could we possibly do this in a drought year? Have you talked to your agronomy folks within Dairyland or other scouts? What are you answering them with? What are you pointing to about Dairyland that helped to make this happen, Brandon?
Well, I think across the board, you hear a lot of buzz about genetics improving over time. And, you know, if this drought had happened 30 years ago, we probably wouldn't see a similar thing. We have really resilient genetics. The breeders, I know, especially on the Corteva side that we partner with, they are very focused on drought tolerance, but more broadly speaking, just stress tolerance in general. So it's something they've been driving at for years, knowing that this is something that's going to continue into the future.
Now, I know we're not quite wrapped up there. You're still gathering data and trying to get your notes together, but are there any numbers that are really performing above and beyond what you expected, Brandon?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things we're really excited about at Dairyland is our overall corn performance. We saw a really strong performance in first trials last year. We had like 240 some top 10 finishes in the United States, and we're on par to do the same thing this year. I think kind of the old standbys for us that are still performing well, we have like 4018 at 101 day. 4510 is doing really well at 105 day. We have a brand new 108 day in 4833 a.m. And that's splashing pretty hard in its launch year here as well.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you're just joining us, this is Brandon Furseth. He is one of the folks with Dairyland Seed that covers the state of Wisconsin. I don't want to forget about soybeans. That's another, obviously, lineup that Dairyland is dominant in. You know, and we talk about the drought. Soybeans just seem to always be so forgiving. I don't know. Maybe it's just my perception. What did you see, yeah, Brandon? I mean, honest to goodness, it seems like anything we throw at that crop, we still manage to get something. And obviously, Dairyland's genetics have been known for perseverance.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. They are a great equalizer. And sometimes I tongue in cheek like to say that they just battle to be average. There's so many things that can kill a soybean crop out there. It's just the number of diseases never end. So a lot of times when we have a good crop going, we see some of that stuff rear its head. But then in a year where it's struggling, they're going to do a great job of compensating when they do get the rain and they do get the resources, and they're going to catch up and do just fine.
Yeah, I know so. That was something you just watched how the pod fill. I mean, all of a sudden, plants that look like they were near death suddenly spring forward with all kinds of blossoms and all kinds of pods.
Yeah, they definitely held serve through the drought and through tough times this season, and just kind of laid there and waited until they could go.
Did you
that
see?
That was certainly the case.
What kind of yields did you see off them? I'm guessing most of that crops off. Anything that sticks out as far as performers or average yields?
Yeah, I think southern Wisconsin, it was very common to see either side of 60 bushels. More drought-stressed areas, you might be down in the 40s, 50s. And in the better spots, you were kind of teasing that 75-80 range. So I think we'll settle out in the 60s for the southern part of the state. We saw some really good performance out of a 1.7 maturity bean, 1788. And then we also really have a pair of products in the early group two maturity, 2310 at a 2.3 maturity and 2444 at a 2.4 that have really risen to the top and have some good broad acre application for us.
Excellent. Well, again, I hopefully we'll get a chance to see you maybe at Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo to talk more about this. Hey, Brandon?
I plan to be there.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Me too. Sounds good. Again, like we said, folks, always good to kind of get an update on what's going on across the state when it comes to the performance of yields and varieties. Harvested 2023. It has been interesting, that is for sure. And that's Brandon Furseth, who is along with us from Dairyland Seeds. Again, if you have any questions, as we said, look forward to seeing you at Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, or just jump on the Dairyland Seed website. You'll be able to get connected with Brandon or any of the Dairyland staff serving Wisconsin.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Building a research facility around an oilseed crushing plant today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farm incentive. Cab to cab, season to season, there's only one way to do it all on your farm: Ag Leader It. Ag Leader offers the complete package of precision farming tools that connect your entire operation year-round. Planter, Ag Leader It. Sprayer, Ag Leader It. Combine, Ag Leader It. Farm data, you guessed it, Ag Leader It. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. The new Ag Innovation Campus in Crookston, Minnesota is an R&D facility, an education center, and an operational oilseed crushing plant with a 240 tons per day capacity. Acting CEO Tom Slunica says the facility is putting new concepts through the paces.
All of those types of ideas have to be proven at a large enough scale so the big companies like ADM, Cargill, Bunge, General Mills, all of them want new innovations, but they're not in a position to try them when they're still not proven.
Plant manager Kent Meyer says the facility is designed to adapt.
Sure, what we're looking at today and what we're geared for is to produce and process commodity beans, but we're quickly going to be able to do beans that are a certain variety that may be produced like a high oleic oil or something like that.
Beltrami, Minnesota Farmer and Ag Innovation Campus board member Mike Skaug says local farmers are pretty enthused about the new facility.
Initially, it'll be more value with soybean oil, of course, to those that seek to deliver here. But ultimately, it's going to be new specialty products. We have the perfect set of growers in this area that take attention to detail, and that's what's needed for specialty crops.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson,
Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. No government shutdown. President Biden signing a short-term spending bill late last night, approved by both chambers.